You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My job is just to play ball, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
My job is just to play ball, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, 49ers plus minus. On Saturday evening or afternoon, right after the 49ers win at the very exciting preseason football over the Las Vegas Raiders. Jake Moody, Jake, the guy you've been ripping all this time, Matt Barrows, with a game winner from 59. He tied it, went from 44. That was a little shaker, but that 59-yard field goal to win was one of the best struck balls that he has had in a 49er uniform. We've seen him really hit the ball well in practice. That one, you know, whatever, preseason, whatever it means for you know, beyond that moment. But really well-struck ball. There was a lot of pressure on him in that moment. He had a shaky 53 miss, and then really shaky was a 33-yard make. But give him credit for bouncing back. The Jake Moody experience, Matt Barrows, where are we with it right now?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. The make that he barely made was from 26.
So 26, that's
even
right.
Shorter than an extra point. But yeah, I mean, I think people are realizing that that's what it's going to look like this season. That the Jake Moody experience is not like the Robbie Gould experience in the playoffs, where you just knew that he was going to make it. There's always a question mark about whether he will or he won't. He's obviously capable of making some of these big long kicks. I thought 59 was kind of remarkable, eye-opening, because he's changed his approach to the ball. He's taking one fewer step on the way to the ball in order to get it out more quickly. But that was supposed to compromise distance a bit, or it might have. There's a question mark about that. 59 suggests that the distance looks just okay, just right. Looks good. But it's still precarious. And you and I were exchanging texts throughout the game, and our texts kind of show that. It's like, they need to call Greg Joseph. Oh, he's going to recover on this one. Oh, he barely made this one. Oh my God, he made it from 59. Mm. I mean, it's like a roller coaster or a television drama. It's like taking you to different extremes emotionally. So yeah. I think people have to gird themselves that's coming in 2025.
That was the experience in 2024, by the way, also. So it's not a new thing. That's what I said. He's before he made that 59 yarder. He's like, he's the kicker. Like they basically decided he's the kicker when they cut Greg Joseph. Shanahan at the time said, of course, he's competing with everybody, competing every day. Not really. You know, they're committed. Shanahan and Lynch do not want to be going through a kicker thing where you're kicked, you know, cut this guy and then bring someone else and he's bad, you cut that guy. That's the last thing they want, is to have a daily meeting, you know, weekly meeting on Monday. What do we do a kicker? Like Kyle Shanahan, it's the last thing he wants on his plate. So they were going to go with Jake Moody. He's going to have some good days. He's had some good days. He's going to have some good moments. He's had some good moments. He has some bad moments. Also, back with that. It's just like, it's never, you're right, it's never this steady thing. Okay, well, he missed a 54-yarder, but that's a tough one. But he's going to make every single 45-yarder. I don't think anyone can think that. I don't think Kyle Shanahan thinks that. But they're not going away from him. That decision was made when they decided they did not want Greg Joseph on the team anymore. And there were reasons for that. They needed extra bodies. I get it, live bodies. And I was thinking, like, if this thing goes really bad, what they could do, because they've got so many injuries, is cut all their kickers down to 53. So that way they can get somebody on the injured reserve who doesn't have to go through that whole process. Like, he makes a 53, put him on injured reserve after that, then sign the kicker. But they ain't doing even that. They're not even doing that. But I'm just saying, that's the disdain they have for kickers. It's like, we want a real player in that spot. Not one of these kickers. But because they have that disdain for the kicking spot, Jake Moody's, you know, not a made man. He's a 67% made man, I guess.
Yeah, 75% right.
Made man. But he's on the team. Actually, you know me, I watch these kickoffs. And the last kickoff he had after his made 44-yarder was a great kickoff. He kicked it right to the goal line. That's exactly what you want. It is as deep as you possibly can kick it, because it goes in the end zone. They down it and it goes out to the 35. So that was good too. So I'm going to go praising Jake Moody. Like, there were some iffy times. That short make, Barrows, I thought he was rushing it with that two-step thing. I think there was a little bit of confusion there or something. But I give him credit for bouncing back. And that 59 was pure A, as we say on the golf course. It doesn't mean it's going to be pure for the rest of the way. I think we all know it. I think even Kyle Shanahan knows it. Jake Moody might know it, but that's all good. The Jake Moody experience, it's here for a while. They're not getting out of this. This is just where they are. He's just good enough to make sure that they keep doing this, and he's just not good enough to make other people think that he shouldn't be doing it. That's just where they are. Anything else strike you? I thought the ones with Brock Purdy looks very – Purdy looked really good. But there are injuries. Let's kind of get the update. Shanahan gave the update on Dominic Pooney, Patrick Taylor, and who else? There was someone else who got hurt.
Corey Kiner.
Corey Kiner, yeah, who I thought was like on his way to being bubble-wrapped as the running back, who's the third running back and maybe the second running back. But maybe that's – oh, Patrick Taylor also. So what's the larger effect – what's the most serious thing that the kind of 49er fans have to realize is happening because of these injuries in this game?
Well, it'll be interesting. Dominic Pooney suffered a sprained PCL on a, I guess it was that field goal to begin with. Yep. And if you saw what happened, it was Matt Hennessy got blown up, blocking from the right side, and somebody came in and knocked Hennessy into the back of Pooney's leg. So Pooney's now out for what Kyle Shanahan said was a few weeks. The opener in Seattle is on September 7th, so that's a little more than 3 weeks away. So Shanahan said that there's a chance that Pooney could be back for that. I think it'll be interesting to see who practices there at right guard. There was no Ben Bartsch today at left guard. He's dealing with an elbow injury. And so the left guard was actually Connor Colby, the rookie out of Iowa, seventh rounder. I would imagine it's Nick Zakel at right guard if Bartsch is out and Colby isn't the right guard. But, you know, I think that you start to have roster ramifications, because while the game isn't until September 7, they got to get down to 53 men on August 26th. So, you know, you start to have some issues there. And then all of these running backs, they're out multiple weeks. We're talking now Jordan James, Isaac Grendo, Corey Kiner, and Patrick Taylor. I mean, these were all the backups behind Christian McCaffrey. And they're all out, you know, multiple weeks. It'll be interesting to see what the exact timing is for that crew. And that also is going to have a bearing on this. But today it was all Keyshawn Vaughn and Jeff Wilson Jr., two guys that were signed in the last 5 days. And, basically the whole game was those two. So that sort of underscores where they were as far as injuries. A lot of guys jumped out to me. I thought that, you know, a couple of guys that played poorly in week one of the preseason looked good. Carter Bradley, the quarterback, he much more in sync, which is what you would expect considering he had 7 extra days and he had only been there for 10 days when he played against the Broncos. I thought Spencer Burford was better. You just didn't notice him as much, and that's probably a good thing. I thought Nick Martin looked better. I thought Nick Sakel looked better. So, you know, these guys that needed to play better, I think they're stuck with Burford as their swing tackle no matter what, but you wanted to see a better game than he had against Nick Benito last week.
That was gonna get another one almost have to be better, but yeah, I thought Austin Pleasance was had Crosby a couple times and did not get destroyed. So just holding up at right tackle leads us all to believe in now the Barrows thing, which now seems like reality. He is the backup right guard and might be pegged to be the starting right guard after McKivitz's free agency next season. So I thought he looked fine. You know, he's not going to blow anybody off from that, but he just wasn't a terrible matchup for Max Crosby. And Max Crosby is obviously one of the best players, certainly one of the best defensive ends of football. Let's get back to the injuries on running backs. I went into this game thinking, man, and I think you kind of teased it too last time, like Jordan James, the numbers are not looking great for an injured running back right now. He might go on IR. I feel like they need these spots, and they just can't have 3 injured running backs make the final 50. Well, not the final 53, make the 53. There might be some juggling after that. I mean, like, who's your backup running back right now in week 1? If they had to do it right now, I think it's Jeff Wilson Jr. If Taylor's hurt, because it would be Taylor. If Garendo's hurt, it would be Garendo overall, everyone else, but he's hurt. They're going to have to put, in my opinion, they're going to have to put somebody on injured reserve out of that group, because they just can't have all of them be up, right? If they're all on the 53, then what are you doing in week 1? You're got injured running backs who might go into week 1. I think there's some issues there. Who knows with Garendo? I just don't know how you can count Garendo. I don't think they'll put him on IR, but I don't. The number of injuries just magnifies the players who get hurt a lot. Because how can you possibly balance that out when you know they might get hurt again? So there's another name out there. I threw it out there last time in another position that I'm looking at possibly in IR. It's Yetur Gross-Matos. It's like he hasn't been out there at all. Dillard, you know, that's the name I've been throwing out, obviously, from the beginning. I could not see how they could give him a roster spot. If he's not practicing, guess what? They cut him. They're not going to cut Yetur Gross-Matos. We know he's a player they believe in. I know John Lynch really likes him. Hadn't been out there, and you've got so many injuries at position. Can you bank a 53 spot on him, not knowing who else you know? You might lose somebody else, Sebastian Valdez, I would throw out there. Do you try to sneak him through and lose him like they lost DJ, you know, they lost other players, or do you just say, you know what, it's great with your tour, it's just not, he's not coming back in time? I don't know. These are just names I'm throwing out. I have not heard anything. I don't want to get aggregated, but when the injuries are this deep, Barrows, can you see, like, they can't just keep all these guys on the 50.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet.
And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three if they're all hurt.
No, for sure. And you know, that they do have the luxury of keeping these some of these guys on PUP or IR or whatever it is to begin the season. And, you know, they have to sit out four games. But they're not going to count against the 53. And that may be a way that they squeeze some of these guys. You know, the Jacob Robinsons, he's an undrafted cornerback. The Sebastian Valdez's undrafted defensive tackle. But I agree with you. I mean, I would say that of the running backs, because the Grindo one happened in the joint practice with the Broncos, we see him out there, and he's doing a lot. And like I said, it's a shoulder injury, so it's not one of these where it's lower body and he's got to, you know, like get reconditioned and this, that, and the other. Once that shoulder is better, he should be back. And we see him doing, you know, he's catching the ball, for example. He's you know, thudding against a trainer with a pad. You know, it's not real football, and they're protecting the shoulder, but it doesn't seem like it's a long-term thing. So if I had to guess who the number two running back would be in Seattle, I'd say Grindo. And I thought that Taylor was going to be the number three just because he's a special teams guy as well. So you get sort of double duty. You get protected at running back if there are two injuries at that position, and you get someone who's playing on all your core special teams as well. So it obviously it throws it into a state of flux. We saw Jordan James leaving practice. You know, he had his right hand was bandaged. That he's got a broken finger. He had surgery. When you have surgery, you have to miss X amount of days while that bone heals. And I don't know exactly when that happened, when the surgery occurred, but I'd say he's iffy because he missed time before that with a knee injury too. So very hard to see him, you know, being the top backup or one of the two top backups in Seattle, just given all the time that he's missed. So it's a big question. Some other things from the game, I thought that, you know, Dallas Flowers at cornerback, second straight game that he started at cornerback. He's also the kickoff return guy along with Junior Bergen back there. Again, it's, you know, you have to be able to do multiple things on this team if you're going to be one of the last players to make it. So I thought that boded well for him. I mentioned Connor Colby starting. I think he's looked really good. He's sort of, I don't want to call him this year's Dominic Pooney, but I think that he's been better, more consistent than maybe some other rookies in the past. Sort of like Jerick Kingston last year, the guy that was snapped up off of the waiver wire. Jake Tonjes looked good. You know, they're down to four tight ends. I mean, they might keep all four tight ends. It's either three or four. And I don't know who's winning that number three battle. It's between Tonjes and Braden Willis. They both look good. I thought Tonjes today looked really good. He got a lot of play out there. And then Saran Neal, number 33, I really think that is going to be a surprise at safety. Mm-hmm. I think that you're going to have Jason Pinnock make it. Then he could come back for the Chargers game. I think you're going to have Marquise Siegel make it. I thought he had another sharp game. Good, really good tackle in space on Raheem Mostert. And I think that Saran Neal's going to make it. He's been practicing at safety and at cornerback, and he's a core special teamer. So, you know, another guy that you have in uniform on game day, and you get a lot of use out of because of that. And so that would mean that it's sort of a toss-up between Jair Brown and Richie Grant. You know, Jair Brown was a guy drafted when Steve Wilks was the defensive coordinator. The 49ers assistant coaches have a lot of sway in who gets drafted by this team. And even though Wilks was sort of a new guy, I think that he was very much in Brown's corner, and that was a Steve Wilks pick. So I don't know how Robert Saleh feels about him. You know, if I'm the 49ers, I put in a call to the New York Jets, where Steve Wilks is the defensive coordinator, and say, hey, how about you give us a wide receiver, or how about you give us a sixth, seventh round pick for this guy? We'll send him over your way. You'll be able to pick up pretty easily. He's Wilkes's guy. So I don't know. I just feel like that's a possibility on August 26th.
You know, I heard Chris Biederman say this on his podcast.
Biederman,
yeah, so he beat you on that one. At the time I heard it. God, that is, they love their draft picks. They love, you know, these guys, and it's not like they've got veterans beating him out. But you talk about it through. I mean, I don't know how he is on special teams. If there's a safety out there they think could be better on special teams, they might make that move. And he started and was on Brock Bowers for that big play downfield. It was with him, and then he fell down. And I have a bias. I have to admit, I have a bias against players who fall down. But falling down is equivalent to giving up. It's not the will to do it, but you just can't fall down on a play in the NFL. And he fell down, and he's missed tackle. So I'm now alerted to this. I wasn't thinking that way at all, but man, if Barros and Biederman are saying it, well, either it's completely wrong, because who knows with these two guys, or you guys are onto something. If he's not significantly better than Richie Grant, there's a problem there, but it's not up. You know, the 49ers shouldn't give him a scholarship. I believe they've given scholarships to other people, but you really shouldn't. So let's be aware of that one. I think it really might come down to, can Gio Brown play special teams? Does he really want to play special teams? He could be a really good special teams player with his physical attributes, but maybe that's just not where he's at. Very interesting at safety. Were you surprised that Diamond Lenore started and then was in the game? It wasn't great that he got run over by Ashton Jeanty, but mostly I was thinking, do they really want Diamond Lenore out there possibly to get run over by Ashton Jeanty? My God, that was a lot to take there.
Yeah, there are two guys that surprised me. One was number two, and the other was number 85. I was thinking to myself, you got a future Hall of Famer here. You're so light at wide receiver. He's going to have a huge role in the passing game. Why is George Kittle out there? I guess it was such a good first series, opening series for Brock Purdy in the offense that it was a very short-lived game for George Kittle, not quite as short-lived for D'Amador Lenore and who are the other?
D. Winters.
D. Winters. Yeah, D. Winters, and then whoever the safeties are, both Jair Brown and Marquise Siegel were the starters. So I do think that Jason Pinnock is going to be one of the starters at safety. The question is, has Siegel shown enough? And I think that he's been really, really good. Just way more athletic than anyone else at safety for this team. This team doesn't draft burners at safety. Most of these guys are 4 or 5 guys. It does seem like the future at that position is Malik Mustafa and Marquise Siegel, which would be a pretty sweet safety combination. Not a lot of hype there, but a lot of physicality and good tackling.
They really haven't had tall safeties, right? Tavarius Moore or whatever that guy named.
Tavarius Moore, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't think of – I go back to, 17, the beginning of this, 18. I just can't remember tall safeties out there. But because since they switch them around so much, and you got to play both. You got to you got to be savvy, and they just don't go for that physical attribute. They go more for the guys who just can fill the run a little bit with a little physicalness. I will just say early on, I thought Purdy to Pearsall is a really eye-catching combination. We've seen it in training camp a lot, certainly recently. That could be, whatever happens with Juwan Jennings. I think the Pearsall thing is a real thing. I'm not saying he's a 1,000-yard receiver this year, but I think he's going to get 3, 4, or 5 balls a week. He might not catch all of them, but he's going to get targeted. He's a guy that I think Purdy feels really good, especially between the numbers. We know Purdy is really good between the numbers. Jennings is the same kind of guy, but I think Pearsall might be able to get open a little bit more. Jennings is kind of the tough catch guy. Maybe Pearsall becomes the guy who can kind of work the seams. And then when Ayuk is back, I hate these grand proclamations. I try not to make them, but you know what I've written about Juwan Jennings, 49ers really don't want to pay him anything, give him a new deal, not so soon after his last one. You and I both talked about how maybe this is not a long-term relationship anymore with Jennings and the 49ers. I think Pearsall just replaces him. Like, it just feels like Pearsall's going to replace. I don't know that you need Pearsall and Jennings long-term, especially if Jennings wants big money. If Pearsall stays healthy, you can go Pearsall, Ayuk, and then fill in the third spot. That's the way I would see them doing it, unless Jennings is just happy with a lower salary than I think he wishes. I don't know
very many players that are happy with that lower salary.
No, they're not. They're not. And you got Drew Rosenhaus as your agent. You've already trying to throw out the stink bomb, going to ask to be traded without a new deal. Whatever's been happening with not practicing, we know there's a calf injury, but the extent of it, we don't know. Ricky Pearsall, if he's good, they're not going to want another receiver making money. You know, Pearsall is going to get a big deal down the road. They're not going to want another receiver who's tried to put them down, you know, this road again that they've gone with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Pearsall could replace Juwan Jennings. I don't know that he's going to be as good as Juwan Jennings. I don't think he's going to be as good as Juwan Jennings was last year, but that was 1 year. And he's 28, and Pearsall's, what, 25, 26? I think he's 25. They can see an upside there. Again, he might get hurt. He might be bad. We don't know. Juwan Jennings has done it. But, man, I looked at that, and I see the connection he has with Purdy, and I think this kind of player that Kyle Shanahan's going to want to get the ball to. You know, that man-to-man beater gets open for that 17-yard slant. Was it third and 18, and he got 23 or whatever. That's a monstrous play in the 49ers system. Like, that is the play. It's the play Ayuk makes. So I felt pretty interested in where that could be headed, because they're going to want Ricky Pearsall on the field. That it just feels very, very obvious to me. And that means other people are going to get fewer reps maybe than you would have thought. And once Ayuk's back, you know, that could have a lot of implications down the road.
Yeah, I don't think you can overstate how important it was for Purdy and Pearsall to connect like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went into that game specifically, you know, trying to hit Pearsall, because they need to make up for lost time, all the time that Pearsall missed last year. And Shanahan even said after the game, kind of interesting, that, you know, Pearsall sometimes concentrates too much on beating his guy and not as much on the timing he has to have with Purdy. So I think it's different than college. Shanahan's offense obviously is timing based, and it felt like that timing was, I don't think it was perfect. There was a missed opportunity in the red zone where it seemed like Purdy thought Pearsall was going to do one thing and he did the other. But the crossing route stuff, you're seeing the ball leave Purdy's hands before Pearsall's made his break, and it gets to the receiver. And you're right. I mean, I think that Pearsall and Ayuk are similar players. And I think that's not a coincidence. I think that Ayuk works really well with Purdy, and I think the 49ers realized that and said, okay, these are the types of wide receivers we need to stock up on. So now here's the question with Jennings, is that having two of those types of receivers is great, and having Jennings as, you know, your third wide receiver, or among the three wide receivers who does different things, who's really physical, who catches contested catches, I think is a great trio. And so the question now becomes, okay, if Jennings isn't a long-term plan, then who's the third guy? And I'm sure the answer is Jordan Watkins. But then you would be having three guys that are really similar, which I think is probably fine for this offense. But we definitely know it would work with Jennings, Ayuk, and Purdy and Pearsall in there. Bit of a question mark. So basically, you're describing a scenario where we have all this Juwan Jennings drama this year and then into March. And then next year, Ricky Pearsall will be eligible for an extension. So we just go straight into Ricky Pearsall drama. I cannot wait for that.
Oh, it's yeah. So you know who else who cannot wait for that? Kyle Shanahan and Jed York. Just cannot wait. That would just please deliver that to them. Hey, listen, if he has a 1,000-yard season, they should be happy that he has a 1,000-yard season, and then everything else comes with that. Sometimes it's inevitable. We shall see. But, you know, they got Jacob Cowing, too. Like, you know, he could be another guy. They could take a look at you know, those spots. I do not – I've heard Junior Bergen thrown out there as another reason. I cannot see him doing anything in the as an NFL receiver. I just can't see
it. Yeah, I think he makes the roster because they're so short on receivers and because he's doing everything as far as returns. But I don't think they see him as a – you know, someone who's going to help them as a wide receiver. He just doesn't put pressure on defenses. They run tunnel screens to him. That's all they do.
Yeah, and the defense knows if he's in there. Guess
well,
what
right. They'll know soon enough. I mean, we know that from practices, and they ran one today to him in preseason, so we can talk about it.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, that's
– I wasn't talking about practice at all. You know me. I don't do that.
So. Well, you don't go to practice anymore.
I don't. I have skipped a few. I will go to one this coming week, I think. But it's all good. I feel this team. All right, Barros. I thought Alfred Collins was better this game. I mean, I don't think he was great, but he's getting blocked, no question. But I thought he had a little more oomph to him. You would think it. He's going to get better and better. He had missed all OTAs. He missed the first few training camp practices. He is physically very talented. It would make sense if you see kind of an upward step for him. Did you see that from 95 today?
I'm glad you said that because we've been criticized for agreeing too much. I thought he stood out to me as one of the guys that didn't perform very well.
Interesting.
If you're watching the 49ers, and remember, Chris Surik's line is built on explosion and getting off the snap quickly. He is the slowest guy, offense and defense.
That is true.
Off the snap. And, you know, he's getting out of there like an old man getting out of a bathtub.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Sorry. But it struck me today. I mean, that's not what you want, and it's not what they thought he was gonna bring. I mean, they like him because he's a big man with quick feet, but that's requiring you to get off the snap fast. And I don't know if it's because, you know, he started late and he's going through sort of, you know, he's got camp legs right now. That would make total sense. He's being used as much as anybody because of the injuries along the defensive line. So he could have dead legs, and we're just seeing an aberration here. But, boy, you don't want to see him getting off the line like he has been, because I think that means that they have to kind of rethink their whole plan there. I mean, my supposition is that they're seeing him as their three technique of the future, like somebody who can line up next to – whether it's C.J. West or Evan Anderson or Jordan Elliott, and make a lot of plays because he is a handful, because he does have quick feet, because he is long. But, boy, nothing that he's done so far suggests that that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I agree with us. Now, listen, that Gibson to his left in the second, I don't even know who this is. Was like either knew the Raider snap count or was just firing off. There's a couple. I was laughing at one time. Like he's like a full body length ahead of Collins, and Collins hasn't gone yet. So something was going on there that he was really getting off the snap count. Did you see the Raiders were chipping Gibson at the end? He's so much like, who's this
guy?
You
got to deal for Gibson.
Gibson. My goodness, this is the guy. And Collins, yeah, no question. Collins was slow. I just thought even when he was slow, he kept coming. Like he was slow. But then he did kind of keep coming. There's a couple pressures in there. Again, I'm judging on a curve from last game where he really didn't do anything. I didn't think Valdez, he looked like he got blocked today. You know, it happens. This is, you're in the middle of this stuff. Bodies are flying around and you're not going to pop out every single time. I just thought Collins was okay. That's the question, though. I don't know that he's a dynamic three technique, and I don't know that he's a nose tackle, so I'm not quite sure what you're going to do with him. Like, he's not a get up the field guy, you know, one of those one gappers, and, you know, he might be a guy who kind of hold off two gap guy, but he's so tall. You don't normally have nose tackles that are tall and skinny because you just have so many bodies flying around there. So that could be an interesting situation for them. He could be yet another one of those tweeners. You know, Michael Collins, we know he's really Michael Williams, my bad. We know that he's really talented. I'm not sure that he's exactly a defensive end. He's, in fact, he's going to be rushing from inside when he's back. I kind of feel like Collins is sort of the same, but Armstead kind of thing. Like, what was really Armstead? He really wasn't a three technique. He was just a really good defensive lineman that you just kind of had to fit somewhere. Maybe Collins at his best kind of reaches for something like that. And we shall see on that. I'm trying to think defensively. I thought Winters kind of over, you know, that was kind of old D Winters. We saw him play really well in week one. Thought he overran a couple things. Now he's really talented. He came up and he made a big hit on one of them. But thought Nick Martin was it was much closer between D Winters and Nick Martin in this game. Obviously, week one, Nick Martin was not good at all, and D Winters was good. So, you know, it's not like Nick Martin's going to overtake D Winters. We know that job's been kind of given. But to think Winters was a little more D Winters that we've seen in the last couple of years, where you see 53 running fast and then you see the ball going the opposite way because he's overrun it. It's not like he's going to be great right away. That's just not going to happen. He's going to have to learn and grow and figure it out. I think he's got skill to do it. You know, can he be as good as Azeez Alshire? Like, that to me is their best Sam linebacker they've ever had. I think that's not even close, right? It's not even really like,
no.
And can D Winters be that and work his way to being a really good Will? Now that's a big step. That's Dre Greenlaw. And I don't know that he's going to get there. But can he, in my mind, can he be as good as we all knew that Azeez was? Because remember when guys got hurt, Azeez stepped in and was one of the top two linebackers and was good. That's why he got the big contract to leave. That's who I'm comparing D Winters to, not to Dre Greenlaw. I'm comparing in my mind to Azeez Alshire, who I thought was really good. In fact, he was like, can they figure out a way to get three linebackers on the field all the time? Because he's good. Then they all were good. That's just not modern NFL to play three linebackers all the time. You got those three wideouts and you got to match.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up with them, but what did you think of Winters? What did you think of Martin?
I like that comparison, Azeez to Martin, because Azeez was the backup middle linebacker as an undrafted rookie. He wore the green dot because he was smart and could play that role, and because Dre Greenlaw was so good as a weak side guy that you didn't really want to move him off of that. And I think Nick Martin is very similar. You know, I would say Azeez is also, you know, smaller than ideal, and Nick Martin certainly is as well. I mean, I think that they're high on Nick Martin. I think that what you see from Nick Martin, just his explosion and how quick
that,
he
that
is.
Blitz,
and how,
that blitz.
Yeah, and how he gets into the backfield, how he gets to the sideline. He had a nice hit on the sideline at one point. He's missing too many tackles right now. He missed another two at least in this game. You obviously don't want to see that, but that's you like the fact that he's in the hole at that point. I don't know how to put it. You like the fact that he's in position to miss a tackle?
I don't know. Better to have missed a tackle than never have.
Exactly. I think the traits are what you're looking for, and you know that he's smart, and you just don't think that this is going to be problematic long term. You know, the question is, what do they do early in the season? And I think that probably Luke Gifford would be the strong side guy. He's actually looked pretty good too. Much, much different body type. He's huge. He's a big guy. Doesn't move as well, but he's physical. He's also smart. He's a special team stalwart. So you figure strong side linebacker, maybe he plays, I don't know, 12, 15 snaps a game and then is on all the special teams. That's doable. But I think as the year goes on, that Nick Martin will be in that role. He just brings more, and you see him as a future weak side linebacker. I think you know, he's been in the spotlight because of all the missed tackles last week. Had a couple more on Saturday, but I would think that they like what they're seeing from him.
Not comparing him to Dre Greenlaw in any way, but remember, Dre used to miss tackles when he was young. I mean, he would be going so fast that he'd be going one way and the other guy would be going the other way. Sometimes you just have to learn how to do that. You're right. It's better to have the speed. It's better to be around the ball. Then you just got to make the tackle when you're on top of the ball. Chase Lucas, another play, interception. Yeah. I think the guy's made the team. I mean, maybe he made the team last week even. Do they have any qualms fitting him into that secondary rotation, or is he just clearly going to be in there?
The one caveat is that he's just a nickel. That's all he does. And if you're a backup, you're assuming that the nickel role goes to Upton Stout. You have to be able to do more. So he's played special teams in the past. Chase Lucas has. He's got to show up there, I think, because he hasn't played much outside cornerback. If you're going to be up on game days, you need to be able to do lots of different things. So that's my only thought about him. You know, Trey Brown, who was, you know, basically working with the starters back in the spring, and he's fallen all the way to third string. The one case that he does make is that he plays special teams, he plays outside corner, and he plays nickel corner. He just gives you more. So I wonder if that's going to be a factor when they're, you know, when they've got the 53 men, if they think that they could get Chase Lucas, who was on their practice squad all year long last year. You know, a team could have taken him off at any time. If they think that they can get Chase Lucas to the practice squad this year, then they know that they would have a really good nickel to bring up if Upton Stout got hurt during the season, or if Upton Stout struggled, they would have him to bring up. That's my only thought on Chase Lucas. He's done everything right, and not only has he done everything right on the field, but he has an aura about him and an energy about him that I think everybody else on that defense responds to.
Yeah, when the way they responded after that pick is like, this guy is popular. You could just feel that sometimes. My only question is, I think he makes a team, but then you would have three nickels basically, because we know if Upton Stout is the starting nickel, if he's hurt or is replaced, it's going to be by Diomedo Lenore, right? That's the
during a game,
that's basically the backup nickel. We know he's a starting corner, we know all those things. I'm just saying, and then you would have three nickel corners, you know, even though Lenore can play outside, it just seems like an overload, and maybe they go another direction there. I do think maybe they can start working Lucas in at outside just to make sure he can do it, because you do need those guys. You have two of those guys and you only have one of the nickels. You kind of need coverage there. All right, anything else? We got anybody else, receivers you liked? Anything
well,
else?
Just to finish up on cornerback, I do think Dallas Flowers probably is the leading candidate. I mean, he's got a body type that they just don't have elsewhere. He's one of these longer, taller guys, sort of in the Charvarius Ward mold. So I think that he makes it. He's the, you know, the third outside cornerback on game days. So they would go into a game with, you know, if everybody's healthy, big if, Renardo Green, Amador Lenore, Upton Stout, and Dallas Flowers.
Yeah.
As your four cornerbacks, and they could kind of mix and match from there. If Upton Stout got hurt, then Lenore goes to nickel and Flowers comes in, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got Saron Neal, who could be up. He was playing cornerback today. I think that's how they're going to do it. But it does raise a question. Okay, what do you do with Chase Lucas at that point? I think that they can get Darrell Luter onto practice squad fairly easily. I mean, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that wants to grab him. Maybe Adam Peters with Washington, but I don't think so. So, yeah, we're starting to, you know, these injuries are kind of forcing some of these issues too. Like Nick Sakel, Matt Hennessy, who makes it? Well, probably they both do because they've just got too many injuries on the interior line right now.
Yep. This is when Shanahan basically makes his decisions. We've known this after the going into the second preseason game and after the preseason game. And once we used to see who's out there with the ones and with the twos, next practice this week, it's basically, you know, they only have 10 days and they're going to have the exhibition game with the Chargers. But that one's going to, there's not going to be a dress rehearsal. I think that dress rehearsal game is kind of out the window because there's so much time between the game and then the regular season. It's 2 weeks. And you have the cut down day right after. So you're like jumbling things going into that game. And then you go into the cut, which is that Tuesday right after a couple days after the game. They start making the cuts pretty soon after the game. They start trickling out like on the Sunday, Monday. I think it's Tuesday, right, is when the actual cuts happen.
Yep.
So that's going to be really interesting for them. As again, we've seen they have so many injuries. They have to kind of back themselves up at certain spots. Not knowing, like Renardo Green, are you 100% sure he's going to be healthy? Now Dominic Pooney, now Patrick Taylor, now like there's various, and even backups, they're not sure about where they are. So that's going to be a very kind of tricky little dance they do. We've seen them do similar things in the past, but I also think they're going to need to know if Juwan Jennings can practice. I've kind of written that. I think August 26th is the deadline day. Like if he can't practice, and they suspect it might be a little bit have to do the contract or what. Like, there might be some things going down right about then. I don't expect it to be a big thing. I expect there to be some sort of tacit agreement at the very least contractually and that he will be healthy and he will be back. But if he's not, Matt Barros, I think there could be something happening right around then. I think they will not want to go into the – remember, that was Ayuk. Like, we got to make our roster here. So you can't be doing this, my back hurts. Remember they said, he's healthy. We now know he's healthy. He's got to practice. Remember that John Lynch presser? That was amazing. And then he was signed like 16 hours later. I think they would have traded him or something at that point if Ayuk wasn't going to play, or they would have suspended him. There was going to be something. I don't think it's that dramatic with Juwan Jennings. I'm just saying that day or the days leading up to it when they have to formulate that 53, we will know how the Juwan Jennings thing is going to go once that's happened, because it's not going to go beyond that. I really don't think it's going to go beyond that. So,
thoughts? August drama.
Yep.
Always August drama.
And you already called August 2026 drama with Ricky.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, Barris. Any other thoughts on this one?
Well, only that we are recording this after the game on Saturday evening. And it always seems as if there's one or two guys that aren't on the injury report after the game who show up a couple of days later and say, oh, gee, my ankle's hurting. And it turns out to be a high ankle sprain. So just brace yourselves. This is the kind of the first wave of injuries, and there's usually a second wave to come.
Very good. 49ers fans love hearing that. More injuries to come, Barrow.
I'm sorry. Hey, you don't like reality. I mean, that's what this league is. It's one big injury.
You don't come here for the slop. You come here for the hard, practical truths coming from Matt Barrow. Matt Barrow's on with a unidentified book above your right shoulder that no one can read the title of. I'm not sure who your publicist would with that one. So, all right, Barros, that is the show for today. We'll get you back later this week with something. I might even go to practice. How's that?
Ooh, oh, wow. Like what a treat.
Throw a party for me when I'm down there. All right, everybody, show up today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.